B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Yeah. Or it wasn't even, or caring.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good.
You know.
Hey.
It just got real, folks.
Yeah, it just got real.
Well, it was like, it's a situation like you were just talking about. Like when we were talking about the whole Mike Scott thing. We've all been in those situations where there's that smell in the air that something's about to go down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like that vibe just changes.
When you hear the chairs, they scoot back.
The same,
you're like, uh-oh.
Exactly. And you're like, now it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Unless it's your boy, then you got to, like, you know, at least separate him. I don't know. But, yeah, we've all been in those situations. This isn't one of those situations. This is literally a sucker punch.
Huh.
This is a guy walking up to a professional athlete, and it just popped him right there and there.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
It's bonkers.
I would ask to get traded. Send me to Philly, because their fans will treat you right.
By the way, you know, on more on the defensive side of the ball there with the Zach Brown thing, I didn't even think of this yesterday, but Alex Singleton, who was, I mean, not the star of the preseason, Bob, but one of the stars of the preseason for as much as stock you want to put into that. So was Greg Ward. That guy can't even get on the field. But Zach Brown being moved out and released has opened up a spot for Alex Singleton to come up, who I remember you raving about a little bit in the preseason.
Yeah, he made a couple nice plays, especially special teams.
Well.
Yeah, he looked better than Zach Brown in the preseason.
Certainly did. He certainly did. So now they're going to elevate one of their own guys, a guy that was a CFL stud, by the way, a Montana kid, coming up to get some experience here at the NFL level.
Yeah, and the more and more that comes out about Zach Brown, he didn't like what the Eagles were doing. He didn't think that, you know, their style of play was any good, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. See ya. Yeah. Okay.
So
their style of play didn't suit you? Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah.
Well, whatever, basically.
I mean, what's the style of play? I mean, you play linebacker, go make a play.
See ball, get ball.
See ball,
I mean, that's
ball.
The see ball, get ball position,
yeah,
right?
I mean, what do you mean? What's the style of play? What do you want?
I don't know.
Evidently, one where he's going to have like 150 tackles. Because for whatever reason, he was the man in D.C.
Yeah, he was a ball hunter in D.C. Yeah.
Non-existent here in Philadelphia. Huh. At no point whatsoever was he that guy in the middle of the defense trying to, I don't know, make plays for you. You barely saw him this season. And now you won't see him this season as he's gone. But hey, a guy that is hungry, a guy that does want the ball, a guy that does want to make plays, Alex Singleton is going to get that opportunity on Sunday. So I hope to see him out there, and hopefully he'll get more than just one opportunity to make a play for this team, and I hope he does. But the other part of this, Trey, is we're talking here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. And that really has to go to not so much the defensive side of the ball, but really the offensive side of the ball here. And when I'm watching this game, this is what I wanted to get into a second ago, is I want to talk about game plan in this game against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, very reactionary, the news of Jalen Ramsey, and we'll get more on the Josina Anderson tweet. Somebody in the locker room itself upset that the Eagles did not get Jalen Ramsey, and I think we all identify with that, but when it's a player in the locker room saying, yeah, we could have been better instantaneously,
Alshon,
then what the hell, bro? Yeah. And there is speculation.
Sorry, it's allergy season.
Yeah, it is. And with that, the speculation, as it's been with Josina Anderson, that if there's anyone she's talking to in that Eagles locker room, the speculation is that it's Alshon Jeffrey. I wouldn't, you know, put it past an offensive player to be like, yeah, what the hell, defense?
Yeah. And also put it past a player to care about future draft picks.
Exactly.
What does that do for them now?
What if it's Carson?
If it's
kerosene on the locker room.
Yeah, but right? If it's Carson, I think he's saying more along the lines of,
give me some receivers that can catch.
Give me Sanders.
Yeah.
Can I get?
Look, I need the ball in short field. Short field situations.
Yeah.
So here's what I need to see. And I'm going to go against traditional wisdom. I'm not going to go with, you know, controlling the football and ground and pound and all that stuff. I want to do what Jaws said they should do last week against the Vikings. They need to do this in this week, this Sunday night against the Cowboys. I want to see passing. I want to see quick releases. I want to see 2 seconds and the ball's out. I want to see those wide receivers get open off the line of scrimmage. Don't ignore the run by any means. But I want this game to be about Carson, and I want him to look comfortable. I know he's going to need his receivers to step up and not just get off the line of scrimmage, but make plays for him. I'm not talking about big plays downfield. I'm talking about short, crisp passing. Give Andre Dillard time to build some confidence for himself. You will have to. He has to establish a run in every game. He got to do that. But I want this game to be about Carson Wentz. I want this game to be about, and look, last week I was hoping he would be the guy to help if you did get in a shootout situation. 38 points by the Vikings, 20 by the Eagles. Didn't necessarily happen, but I want this game to be a game where there's no excuses about the offense and Carson is able to be the guy that they can ride to a win in Dallas. That's what I want it to be about.
I think you're spot on about that they are going to pass a lot, and I said it earlier, I think that they're going to try to help Dillard out as much as they can, and in so doing help Carson Wentz out, because don't put him on a spot where he's got to protect you or all that much for long times, or that you're going to need him to run block. If they're going to run, I think it's going to be all right side. I think they're going to try to keep Dillard as quiet as possible. But I agree with you. I think this is a, this might be a 35-40 attempt a game for Carson Wentz, and I'm okay with that.
It feels weird because after last week's game against the Vikings, as I pointed out before, his first completion came on the last play of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, this it was is an weird.
Like, you're not going to get... Look, they didn't have a lot of time of possession by any means. I think they only had two series, possessions.
At one point, Minnesota ran 21 plays to the Eagles' three.
Yeah, like, it's just, you're not getting your quarterback into rhythm. Defense has to get off the field in that situation.
Yeah.
That's the bigger issue. But you're not going to get your quarterback in any form of rhythm if you're running the ball the first three plays of the game.
Yeah.
That's an odd thing to me that they did that. And then when they got the ball back, they ran it, and then I think they passed it on their last play, like I said, of the first quarter.
Hmm.
I want to see Carson in a rhythm. I want to see Andre Dillard getting his confidence up. You could do that by establishing the run, but you can also do that by getting rid of the football quick. Have guys get off the line of scrimmage, whether it's the drag routes, whether it's slants, whatever it might be, going across the middle. Trust your guys to make those types of plays. Alshon Jeffrey, I think you can trust. I think Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz need to step up. The one huge concern I have about Andre Dillard starting isn't even necessarily about just Andre Dillard playing left tackle. It's about any help they might have to give him if they struggle. Whether it's Dallas Goedert going to his side to help him out, whether it's Zach Ertz going outside or staying in to be a blocker. Carson needs every receiver out there that can make a play for him. I don't want them to have to stay down in order to help out their rookie left tackle.
Now, when they say help, mm-hmm. they're not saying that they're going to keep players in for him.
Right, but if it comes to it,
it's going to be chippers. They're going to send, like, you're going to send a running back over there to kind of chip the end. You're going to kind of bring those tight ends in a little tighter, or even receivers a little tighter, just to make that DN slide in a little bit more. Because you don't want DNs, especially on a road game, when you're having to go silent count, and you see a DN 3 yards outside of you, boy, that makes you nervous. I don't care if you at home. You know, that you don't like seeing DNs 3 yards outside of you, you know, because that just tells you, boy, you better get on your horse. What they're going to do is they're going to try to have these guys line up a little tighter to force that DN more into him a little bit. Of course, they may slide to him. Lane, you're going to put Lane on an island anyway. Because
mm-hmm.
Lane is on the island all the time anyway. So, that's nothing new to them. Kelsey's going to always, if he has a big guy on him, he's going to slide help to wherever that shade is anyway. So knowing that, they're probably going to try to do anything to counteract it and make Kelsey have to go to the other side.
Now, that's fine. But what I've seen in the past from this team, even with Carson Wentz, and again, you could go back to that Vitae game, you had Brent Celek going over the other side of the football field to try to help out Vitae later in that one.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to put him over there to force the DN more into him.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But you can't keep the tight ends in on protection all the time. Like, you might put, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can the tight end, even if you flex that tight end out a little bit to force the DN inside of him, just to kind of get the DN a little tighter on Dillard.
So it doesn't get as big as a running start.
Yeah, so you don't put him, you don't want that DN all the way lined up out there, because then now, you know.
Now, what's the beta? If we see that, if you know, the untrade eye, Trey, we see that, what's the counter? How's their best way to counter that? Besides, like, for Carson Wentz, he sees a DN lined outside. He might see that Dillard's on an island. What do you counter? Do you go to a run that way?
You send somebody. Yeah, you could counter with a run, depending on where the if you have a one or three technique, depending on where the linebackers are shifted. You know, because a couple times when you see them go to run, depending on who the linebacker is, sometimes Kelce would just bail out of there and you leave it a hard block for the offensive lineman to try to take on if it's a one or a three technique. So it depends on if a three technique is on that side and the linebacker is stacked and it's a favorable situation where you can get a combination block up to him, then now, all right, that's cool to check into a run.
Okay.
You know, but you better make sure that there isn't safety help in there as well. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's a lot that has to happen for you to be able to check into a run, but I'm just saying, I think the way that you can kind of help it is that you've make sure whoever the outside receiver is or tight end is to make sure you line up in a situation where you force that DN into him a little bit more so that he doesn't have to deal with a DN that's 3 yards outside of him.
Right.
If you're talking as Doug Peterson was yesterday, talking about how your offensive line isn't giving your guy, is giving him those two and a half seconds to get rid of the football, right? Mm-hmm. If you're talking about an opposing quarterback doing that to your defensive line, why can't you do that to somebody else's? Why can't you have Carson Wentz get rid of that football? Why can't guys like Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, and Alshon Jeffrey, three pretty damn good receivers, not wide receivers, all of them, but three pretty talented guys help out Carson in that regard, where they're giving him a target to get rid to deliver the ball to in 2.5 seconds?
Well, everybody else plays man. So a lot of these other teams will play man and will get up in our receiver's face because they know we don't have any speed out there. Mm-hmm. They know we don't have DeSean Jackson out there. So they're like, all right, well, we can get up in these players' face because, you don't have to worry about them running by you.
So pack it in. They're playing man.
Yeah.
Pack it in. It's over.
No. But I'm just saying that's what they're going to do. And also, too, now you've been going up against some extremely athletic linebackers as well, where you got Eric Kendricks out there who can run with anybody. Mm-hmm. He's going to be your covered linebacker that can stick with any of these tight ends, I think that's one of the things that people are doing without having DeSean Jackson in the situation. It makes everybody play up a little bit more because you don't have any speed out there to run by anybody.
I've heard this man argument all the time, and I get it. You can mm-hmm. see it, and it's working. But you got to be able to rise above that, right? I mean, if you know what they're going to be doing against you, you have to do something to make sure that you have some success in this game. And right now, I don't have a lot of confidence that they'll be able to do that. I told you what I want to see, but because of that reason, because of how they struggle against that type of defense, it makes you kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, all right, well, you know the challenge in front of you. It doesn't get any bigger than this, all right? Primetime game in Dallas for first place. Week 7 of the season. It ain't early anymore. It hasn't been early for quite some time. Go down there and make something happen.
I'm so excited for this young man.
What? What are you excited for?
Man, it's primetime, dude. Primetime in Dallas.
I mean, is there a bigger stage?
No.
Imagine that. You're a rookie. You come to Philadelphia. You don't know much. He came in and said, I don't know much about the city at all. He comes in, and probably all he's heard from day one, much like Brandon Graham said yesterday in his interviews, ever since he got here, that's all he heard. I don't care how many games you win, just beat Dallas. So he's probably heard it. Andre Dillard has heard it over and over and over again. His first start in the NFL is going to be in Texas Stadium.
I did ask Jalen Mills.
Like, that's 8:20 on a Sunday night, national TV audience.
Go get some, young man.
I asked Jalen, was there a better scenario you could have planned out than this one to come back for? And he's like, man.
It's Dallas.
Eagles, Cowboys, Sunday night? Doesn't get better than
Sunday night, prime time? Come on, man.
Make a play.
Only game on.
All right, I want to hear your game plan in this game.
Okay.
All right, because we have to factor in Andre Dillard. And then coming up, we're going to dissect this game from an offensive line, defensive line standpoint. We get into trench talk at 7:30. Bob, I want to know what you're going to see for tomorrow or for the Sunday night's matchup. Jamie, we'll talk to you as well. Coming up in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
A tweeter on Twitter telling me that their theory is that the culprit in the Josina Anderson tweet is not Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, do As tell. Jamie Lynch has said. None of us has said it. That's Jamie.
Jamie, you dry snitching?
Put it right on. I mean, just look at Josina's reporting on the Eagles. He reports pretty exclusively with Alshon News.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
that's
yeah?
That's good work. That's
oh,
good.
Yeah?
Just
Detective
connecting some dots.
Who told you that Alshon said that they kicked the defense's ass in the first minicamp practice? That'd
you,
be me.
You.
Yeah, so what's
yeah.
up now?
And you did ask Tim Jernigan,
how you doing?
How is he feeling?
How you feeling?
How you feeling?
How you feeling? So I said, hey, Tim, how you feeling?
You're the hard-hitting journalist we all need, Mark.
That's what. You're welcome. That's all I got to say. Like, I saw him for a second, and I was the only guy around. And he was walking out in his yellow hoodie. Tim, how you feeling? What would you have asked him? What's up, Stud Muffin?
Yeah, you got any new tracks lined up?
Yes. What's the next on? When's your next track coming?
And how's that helped them beat the Cowboys? Huh?
It might be motivation, music. Let's talk about that. That's bumped in the locker room.
This is now. You want to talk about credible journalism? This tweeter is named Wise Ass Mofo. So that's him tweeting us right now, saying that Malcolm Jenkins is the guy that is dry snitching to Josina Anderson.
Ah, he's the leak.
Would you say it's Malcolm Jenkins, or would you say it's who do you think is more likely?
So you think it's someone on the defensive side of the
Maybe.
Ball? And in the secondary?
Maybe.
Wow.
That
is spicy.
That'd be a spicy meatball, my friend.
That's a story.
Yeah, and then someone else telling me, Carson's wide receivers make plays. No, I didn't say wide receivers. I said receivers. I even differentiated. Saying it's got to come down to Dallas Goedert, it's got to come down to Zach Ertz, and it's got to come down to Alshon Jeffrey. Like, Nelson Agholor, I've almost just given up on. But I can't give up on those other three guys because I need Carson to throw the ball to somebody with some confidence.
It's gotten so bad that you're just hoping to get something out of Nelson Agholor.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe you get a first down. Maybe you break a tackle and get a 20, 25-yard gain. But that's all you're looking for. You can't even look for anything substantial from him on a consistent basis, and that's horrible.
If there's not a game where you can just bundle up all the crap that we've had to deal with, like, in all seriousness, right? Like, Eagles fans have been watching this all season long, and they know what the problems are. And I know, I keep hearing this argument that Carson's part of the problem without, like, I'm seeing people shoot it down without a lot of people presenting it. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost to elevate their own point. They're saying, oh, all the people that think Carson Wentz is the problem. I haven't heard anybody all year through six games, say that Carson is the problem. Have I pointed out some struggles that he had? Sure. But I'm not saying he's the biggest problem on this team or even one of the biggest problems on this team. There are huge things in this team's face that are ginormous problems. Drops, most notably. Not being able to have consistency on your offensive line. Not having a consistent passing game because of those drops. Inconsistencies on defense. Like, injuries, obviously. But when you look at this team, I don't look at Carson Wentz and go, oh, big problem right there. But I want all this crap that all the excuses that we've made for this team, and some legit, more explanations than excuses. If you're not going to get up and be able to throw them out the window for Dallas week, for a primetime kickoff in Dallas, for first place, then you lose all hope for this team. If the drops continue, if the offensive line continues to struggle, if you can't get after Dak Prescott, then guess what? Then just pack it in for the rest of the season. And guess what? 10-9-8 76ers, baby.
Yeah, well, think about the criticism or the looks that we have at Carson Wentz on Monday morning should they play Sundays. Like this week, perfect example. How many throws did you really question, Mark?
What, with what?
From Carson Wentz this past game?
This past game?
You said
two?
A couple, two.
Two, yeah.
Two.
Well, one throw, actually. The other was just not checking out of a play.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of been the norm of every game this year. When you go to Carson Wentz, he could have had that one better, and maybe he missed the out against Green Bay on Alshon Jeffrey, but Alshon was hurting then. Maybe he didn't get the push off. That's how fine of a tooth comb we're going through Carson Wentz's game, and that's how hard we have to look to find something wrong. Now, I'm not saying the guy's having an MVP season. I'm not saying, but it's really hard pressed to say that he's done bad things this year, that he's not been able to carry them to wins this year. They could have been. I'm close to could have and should have. They could have had four wins going into that game easily against Minnesota. They could have won that Atlanta game if Nelson Agholor had made the catch. They could have beaten Detroit at home had some of his receivers made plays instead of having 7-8 drops. I really have a hard time faulting Carson Wentz for the team's 3-3 record right now.
Absolutely. That's why I keep on seeing if you think Carson Wentz is a problem, then you have a problem. Like, what? Like, I haven't heard anyone say Carson sucks. Like, when somebody sucks, that's when they become the problem.
We got one at the 5 a.m. yesterday, I think it was, James. It was yesterday on our show, where the guy went from he hasn't been very good to he downright stinks. And remember the one caller yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Right.
And he wouldn't give DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller credit for Deshaun Watson being successful.
Yeah, those guys are garbage, let me tell you.
And Deshaun Watson's awesome. It's not a knock on Deshaun Watson.
No, not at all.
He's got perhaps the best receiver in the game. And Carson has the leading drops wide receiver core in the entire NFL.
And I pointed
bit of a difference.
Before the game against the Vikings, I pointed out that even if you incorporate that, he's still a middle-of-the-pack quarterback in terms of completion percentage.
Right.
But still, these guys are not getting open for him. But if you're not going to get up for this game as a player, Trey, then what? Do we just say, well, the expectations of the season were fun? Just like the Phillies, the expectations were far better than the actual season. The offseason was better than the regular season. That's what we're looking at then, if they're not going to be able to get up for a game against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of these games that you shouldn't have to come in and give a fiery speech. Everybody's energy level should be on 10 already, just getting ready to go into this practice. Everybody should be clamoring to get it back out on the field. If you've been missing any time, because this is one of the games that this is one of those games that you've been dreaming about, just being playing football, saying, all right, you know what? I get to go into Dallas on a primetime Sunday night game. That's the only game on in Jerry's world. I'm getting excited right now just thinking about it.
See, now here's the thing. People will say sometimes that the Cowboy game, whatever, some players might not get up for it. Hey, they just got to play whoever's in front of them. Zach Berman went around the locker room yesterday asking every player their favorite Dallas moment. Like their favorite moment of playing against the Cowboys. Everybody had one jump to mind.
Oh, sure.
Like Lane Johnson was talking about the Thanksgiving game where LeSean McCoy rushed for like a million yards, right? Like that was a game that stuck out to him. Every one of these players, Trey, as you well know, this is a special, like, forget about, just for a second, forget about the mystique that goes around the Cowboys, right? And just think about it as a battle for first place in a season where you've been extremely inconsistent. This is a game you make a statement in.
Yeah.
This is the game where you go down there and there's another team with the same record as you that you can punch in the mouth and you can leave there knowing that you're the first place team. You're the number one team in the NFC East. And you've barely played any divisional games yet, and now you can do it against the other team that's supposed to be one of the better teams in this division. Yeah, Giants aren't scaring you. Certainly the Redskins weren't scaring you. Now this is the only time you can look at it and make a statement, because you need this game going forward. Before you play the rest of your division, you need to make sure you can get this one win on your side before the end of the year. Because that way you can go through the rest of these games knowing that you have an extra little chip on your shoulder going forward. That's what I want to see from this team in this game on Sunday night. Now, I pointed out to you what I'd like to see game plan-wise, Trey. I'd like to hear yours, but I know most importantly what we need to get from you is how they do this with this offensive line going up against that pass rush of the Dallas Cowboys, especially with Andre Dillard making his first career start at left tackle with Jason Peters being out. So now we present to you, the fine people of Philadelphia, a little trench talk with Trey Thomas.
All right. So as we usually do when we talk about doing a little trench talk, we like to go with numbers first. All right. So Dallas first is ninth total defense. Ninth in the league with total defense. 331 yards they're giving up a game. Only 19 points. They're 12th in the league when it comes to rush, stopping the run. They're only giving up 4.2 yards a game, 93.0 yards a game with per game. 59 yards has been their longest run. They've given up 7 touchdowns. They've had 1 fumble. And when it comes to stopping the pass, they're 12th in the league as well. You know, 12 and 12, both running and defense. And rushing. How does that happen? All right,
I don't know.
Very average. But anyway, so that's 12th in the league when it comes to stopping the pass. I mean, they've given up 5 touchdowns. They've got 2 interceptions. They've gotten 14 sacks. All right, so when you go back and you look at what this defensive line has done, when you're looking at the different games that they played in, against the Giants, they got 1 sack, 7 quarterback hits. They gave up 150 yards rushing. They only got 2 tackles for loss. Against Washington, 1 sack, 3 quarterback hits, 47 yards rushing they gave up, and 2 tackles for loss. So of course, Washington, Miami, 3 sacks, 10 quarterback hits. They only gave up 72 yards rushing, 5 tackles for loss. New Orleans, 5 sacks in that game. 5 sacks. Now, of course, that's not with Drew Brees or whatever, but, you know, still, you got 5 sacks in that game. 6 quarterback hits. They gave up 117 yards on the ground, 7 tackles for a loss against Green Bay, 2 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, 120 yards, 7 quarterback tackles for a loss. And then also the New York Jets that they just had, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, 56 yards rushing they gave up, and 3 tackles for a loss. Now, when you go and you look at what these these guys are doing. You look at what their game plan is. What they're doing a lot of, they're running games to the running back side. Now, when you look at in shotgun, you're going to see the quarterback, the running back is always to whatever side of the quarterback. So if he's on the right side, they're going to run their games, most of their games, to the right side. If the quarterback, if the running back is on the left side of the quarterback, they're going to run their games to the left side. The reason they do that, 9 times out of 10, your slide is going away from the running back. Usually when you do something like that, your running back has dual reads on that side of the field. So you know that the help isn't going to be there. So that side to the running back is usually your man's side. So that's why they run most of their games to that side. One of the things that you're going to have to look out for also, they will come out there and just have only 3 down linemen and have 3 linebackers in there. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to have 54, 55, and also 48, I believe. 48 is his number, I believe. But what they're going to do, 54 is in there. That's your man, what's his name? Jones. But anyway, Smith. So what they're going to do is they're going to run a game with Smith. 54 will come in. He will come in and try to penetrate. He'll rush over the guard, and then the end will try to come around him. So that's one of the things that you're going to have to watch out for when you have those linebackers mugged in there, that 54 will be the rusher. He's going to be your guy that will try to run different games. He will also, too, give you like a fake game where he'll look like he's looking for the blitz, the looper, and then he'll get back into the rush. So that's some of the stuff that you're going to have to watch out for. Also, too, when you look at 58, who is going, Robert Quinn, he has 5 sacks right now. He's one of those guys that takes really big, long steps. He's going to give you that stab in and try to clean the hand. He's going to give you some bull rush stuff. I think that one of the things that that Dillard is going to have to look out for, especially coming off the game that he just played in Minnesota, is more bull rush. He's going to get a lot of bull rush in this game just because he didn't handle it well in the pass game. And also, too, they're going to give you some butt and goes because that's one of the reasons where you saw it against Minnesota where Griffin gave him that butt and then he got out of it. He gave him a butt, came out of it, and he grabbed Wentz out by the arm, which made Wentz threw him off on one of his passes.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a group that, you know, you can kind of get after. Now, on the other side of it, you got number 90, DeMarcus Lawrence.
Now, not having a great year, numbers-wise.
But he has a nasty inside move, and he has a nasty outside spin move. The reason that I'm really pointing this out is that most offensive line coaches never coach outside spin move. They never coach it. They always coach spin inside, because most defensive ends, they like to spin inside. Every offensive tackle that has gotten beat with an outside spin move will remember it for the rest of their life. It happened to me in Green Bay. Cullen Jenkins. I had never felt an outside spin move.
And Cullen Jenkins pulled one on you.
Man, Cullen Jenkins hit my ass with an outside spin move. I'm like, where did he go? What the hell just happened? Where did he go? And so I always remembered it. I always kept that in the back of my mind. So even when I was working with the outside linebackers, that was the first thing I started working on teaching. I'm going to tweet out some pictures, some film of outside spin moves that we taught, and also to what this young kid can do. DeMarcus,
former coach. Eagle great.
Yeah, Cullen Jenkins. I think he was part of the dream team, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you are correct.
Yeah. Cullen Jenkins hit my ass with an outside spin move.
Were you with the Eagles at the time?
Was I with the Eagles? Yes.
You were Jacksonville?
He was a DN out there in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Okay. He hit me with an outside spin move. Where'd he go? where did he go? Because you're always used to, they spin inside. Man, he came in and he set it up really nice and bam, dude, he got me, dude. And then, so after that, I always kept it in the back of my mind. So when I started teaching it, you know, that was one of the things that I really focused on. But yeah, this is a group, man, that you're going to have to get after. You know, they're not that, you know, when it comes to stopping the run, I think we can get after them. When it comes to run blocking, I think we should definitely go after the run. Also, too, they're missing 3 of their top corners. So you have some injuries out there that's in that secondary that I think we can try to take advantage of. But, you know, this is going to be a challenge, man. It's going to be silent count. All the noise is going to be there. These guys are going to be moving around and, you know, doing everything that they can to try to throw you off. They're going to be running games to the running back side. But, you know, you're going to have to, you know, this is one of those games, again, it's almost like every week, you have to make sure that you understand your point, you understand what your responsibilities are, and then you just take it from there.
I forgot how long Colin Jenkins played out there. He's in there since 04 in Green Bay.
Yeah.
I just remember him winning, they won a Super Bowl, I think, and then he came to the Eagles.
Man,
he was one
know.
Of the guys that cashed in out there.
All I know is, where did he go? I saw him in front of me, but where did he go?
We said that a lot when he was with the Eagles. Where did he go?
He wasn't a small man to lose.
Oh, no, but he got
He got gotcha,
me.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, it was clean, too.
Everything happens once, Trey.
I mean, because it threw me off, and then I was like, oh, damn. You know, we have to file this in the back of the mind.
Yeah.
And then you had this one guy, you know, just going out, getting off track. You had a defensive end for Chicago. They had moved him from linebacker. I can never remember his name. He was number 99, and he played DN for Chicago. He had the nastiest outside spin. He never had a lot of sack numbers, but man, he was nasty with setting it up. So he was like there from like, I think, but when I was working with outside linebackers, what, maybe 2013, maybe 2011, you know. But he was he played middle linebacker.
He wasn't
linebacker.
The local kid, was he?
But then they moved him to DN. He wore number 99, I believe. But man, he could set up an outside spin move like nobody else. And I cut a lot of his film to show how to teach it. Just
because
he was nasty with setting it up. Yeah,
McLennan.
I think that's him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shea McLennan.
Yeah. He was nasty with the outside spin move. But, you know, it's something that you have to be aware of because, you know, you never drill it. And I remember even Dwight Freeney, he went over there against Lane. I believe, was it Lane's rookie year or second year? Man, Freeney hit him with outside spin move, you know, and it's something that you just...
Because you just don't see it often
see
because
it
it's
much.
Taking you away from the action.
And everything about it, you have to set up a spin move, you have to work inside a couple times.
Right,
work inside a couple times. Because once you stab in, then bump, bump, and then...
Jab, jab, jab.
Yeah, go.
Haymaker.
Yeah.
So bring it back then, Trey.
Yes.
The final question we have to ask.
Uh-huh.
Who has the advantage? Eagles O-line versus... Dallas Cowboy D-line.
I think we get him, man. You know,
I
think we get him. You know,
Even
with Andre Dillard. You know, Dillard's going to need to spread out a little bit. I think they're going to do whatever they can to kind of give him a little help. You know, you're going to try to put the DNs more into his body. You know, it's going to be a challenge, man. But this is one of the games that this is going to show. If this is your stage, do you belong here?
Yesterday you said the Eagles D-line had the advantage against their offensive line. So you're saying we also have the advantage in this other O-line versus Eagles. That's double advantage. Eagles win the game. They don't even need to watch. There you go. That's Trent's Talk with Trey Thomas.
Yeah! I'm going to tweet out these outside spam moves.
Get excited!
That's pretty awesome.
Colin Jenkins was one hell of a pregame motivator.
Oh, okay.
I would hear the pregame little pep talk.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't quite Ray Rhodes, but he gave Ray Rhodes a run for his money. It was up there.
I once got to be in the huddle with Ray Lewis on field when he was talking to the defense. I was like, me and the cameraman were the only two non-Ravens in there. Holy hell, that was cool. I was ready to run through a wall. I wasn't even playing. And he didn't curse, which was amazing.
I had a nephew that played football down in Baltimore, and he was playing against Ray Lewis's brother, and Ray Lewis was in the stands. So my nephew gets introduced. He was a linebacker. My nephew gets introduced and comes out and does Ray Lewis. 15-yard penalty to start the game.
No!
Yeah,
right
off the bat.
That's the no-fun Pee-wee league?
Yeah,
I don't
pretty
know.
Fun.
Was it?
Pretty
whatever.
Fun.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. It was worth it. 610-632-0975. Coming up, Ben Simmons, ladies and gentlemen. Say it with your chest, Benny. Here from Ben Simmons in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So Ben Simmons' jump shot has been talked about just a wee bit, just a little bit. Right?
A little bit. Never heard any talk about it.
I don't know why after he hit a three-pointer, everyone should just shut up about it. I don't care if it was against the Guangzhou Loon Lions. I hit a three-pointer. That's the bottom line. A professional three-pointer. For the people on Twitch, I'm looking at you right now. A professional three-pointer. Little step-back jumper he had just outside the paint a couple days ago against the Magic. But yet people are still hounding him about it. People won't leave the man alone when it comes to that jumper. And here's the thing I like. Ben Simmons is not afraid to point out that he's already an all-star. Normally that would annoy me. Normally it would. But when he did it a couple of weeks ago, it didn't bother me too much because he was being hounded at the time. Well, he gets asked about it again yesterday, and here's what I was talking about. He said it with his chest. Listen to Ben Simmons when he gets pushed on the jumper yet again at practice yesterday.
A lot of that I don't think it's doing. It's just something that I'm working towards getting better as a player, as you would do as a rider. Everybody works to get better. Him behind the camera, you know, it wasn't the best the first day he started. And that's just my game. You know, I'm confident saying I'm not a great shooter. I'm getting better, though. But it's a game. There's five people in the court. I lack something that I'm not as great at, but in other areas I'm very great at. The floor as well as anybody. Physically, I can rebound the ball at 6'10. My point guard can guard 1-5. But that's just one thing that's coming into my game, which I'm excited about. I love getting better. I love spending time with you and building that confidence.
Normally, I would be like, oh, dude, come on. I'm great at these other things. You know, and he starts listing them. But then he's like, but I got to work on the other things I'm not so great at.
Good.
And then he's like, yeah. And that's the part where I'm like, good for you, man.
But he is right on the things he's great at.
He is, yeah. But it's like you let somebody else say that, you don't say that type of thing.
He showed confidence and humility yes. at the same time. It was perfect?
It was. And like, that was the best way to handle that.
Yeah.
And then
actually perfect would have been, and never ask and bleep and ask me about it again at the end. Never ask me about it again.
The cameraman, you know, hey, when he started, he sucked.
Writers are looking to get better every day.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Writers getting better every day. Cameramen getting better every day. I'm trying to get better every day. Good for you.
He absolutely did. Yeah. And I know some people took the negative thing away from him saying, I'm an all-star. You know, when he said that two weeks ago, I think it was. Like, the context was he was kind of getting pushed in a little bit, and he said it with his chest. Hey, look, I'm an all-star. He didn't say he wasn't working on the things he wasn't good at. He was. And now he just flat out said that in this little back and forth yesterday. Look, I have said going into the preseason, even before we saw him hit that three against Guangzhou, even before that, I said, call me naive, but I think he's actually going to have that part of his game developed. Not to the point of, you know, like we were talking about Steph Curry as people were just throwing that name out there, but just to the point of it's going to be a comfortable thing to incorporate into his game this year. That's it. That's all we're asking for.
That's all. Yeah, if he gets a dribble drive and the guy's backing off so far that he can stop and pop from 12 feet, have at it.
Like the Magic.
That's it.
But against the Magic is a perfect example of that.
Have at it. And he's going to take more unorthodox jump shots than he's going to take standstill jump shots, meaning fadeaways, one-footers, the different type of stuff we talk about. Because when you're not shooting well, when you're not comfortable with your shot, that's what you naturally do. It makes you feel more comfortable to shoot off-balance shots because it's like your body's contort. It's not form. It's not anything but getting it up there. That's probably what we're going to see more from him than we're going to see the average three-pointer that we saw the other night or a standstill jump shot.
So when can we be done, Bob? What's it going to take? Is it going to take 2 weeks into the season of seeing it occasionally in every game?
Yeah, if you see two or three jumpers a game, it stops. You know, two or three 12-footers a game, a turnaround on the baseline like we saw during the offseason where he was doing in his pickup games. You know, some types of those things, that's fine. When it's blatantly obvious, it's got
to
be there.
And also, shout out to Ben for something a little bit, I guess, not more serious, but something off the court. You know, what, is he gathering coats?
Yeah, he gave away 600 yesterday? Coats. I think it was West Philly yesterday.
Look
Good
at
for
that.
Him.
Look at that, huh? That's our Benny.
Look, people look at that and roll their eyes. Like, yeah, players do it all the time. But once they dive in and start to do it and really become a man, and for what Ben said this past summer, I love Philadelphia. I want to stay there. This goes a long way. I mean, for fans that want him here, want to believe that he's not going out to L.A., which was all the talk and all, that doing community service, that goes a long way to saying I'm staying here.
And he put on his Instagram last night, like, these kids made my day today.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, it's genuine. Aww. I don't think it's got, you know.
No.
Just for the PR aspect.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, correct myself, and Graf just sent me the highlight from House of Highlights. Step back jumper I'm referencing was against the Hornets, not the Magic.
And by the way, I think it'll stop when he has clear open looks and takes them. Like, I don't even think there has to be a number on it per game.
Right.
But if he passes up open opportunities for jump shots,
yeah,
If he stops doing that, it'll stop.
Yeah. So here's the thing. And when we're arguing about this on the stoop or the stool at the bar, right? And somebody said, I need to see 10 jump shots from Benny Game. I feel like we've been banging this drum throughout the entire summer, Bob.
Why? He's not good at it. Why would you want to see 10?
But no, it's not even that. It's not even that. It's like, that's not how basketball works. It's not, this guy has to get this amount of shots. It's what the game dictates and what you can create for yourself. I'm not expecting him to go in there with the attitude of, I need to create 10 jump shots for myself, because I don't want any point guard in basketball having that mindset, because that's not your job. Your job is to set up everybody else. If he's going to be the facilitator, which is, by the way, something he's already great at and why he's an all-star, then let him do that. And also, you know what else is pretty good? Rebounding and pushing the ball up the floor.
Yeah, there might not be anyone better in the league that can do that. That can take the ball off the rim and get down to the other end of the floor and get the ball either to the rim or to the right person, better than Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's what he does pretty much best in the league, I'll cater my offense towards that, as opposed to trying to cater any type part of the offense towards his greatest weakness, which is shooting a jump shot right now.
And the other thing that I want to talk about is this. Nothing to do with Ben Simmons off the court, but it has to do with Jamie and I off the mic. And that is tomorrow night.
Ah.
We're going to be at William Tennant High School.
Rivalry week.
And warmest. I actually, see, you got like one rivalry. You got Wood across the field from me. That's all you got. Me, I got two. I got LaSalle, and I got William Tennant High School. Bunch of bums. Because my high school, Archbishop Wood, is taking on Jamie's high school, LaSalle College High School. University
place of studies, leave to be gentlemen.
Where the rich kids go.
No, not at all. It's very diverse, Bob. Yeah. It's insensitive of you to even say that.
Not at all.
You were the guys with the croquet team, right? You guys are a croquet team?
Yeah.
But you know, our high schools are taking on each other on the gridiron at William Tennant High School.
I'm going to set the line. LaSalle is, I think, minus 11.5.
Oh, that's a big line, Bobby. I think Wood's right behind them in the standings. It's the prep, and then LaSalle and Wood kind of pecking
LaSalle
there for a second.
LaSalle is minus 11.5 tomorrow night.
That's a big line.
But well, I'm just saying what it is on the street.
Aside from just our high schools taking on one another, Trey, on the football field, Jamie Lynch and myself, Mark Farzetta, will be in the booth with Bob Long of Bob Long Sports tomorrow. We'll be in the booth as color analysts for the Bob Long Sports webcast of the game.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a good time.
Once we have the link.
We should go tailgate, Trey, me and you.
And I haven't heard this. I can't confirm or not, but I heard this is a battle over whether or not LaSalle will have girls at their school. I just heard that we're going to say that.
This just in.
What?
It's not going to happen.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's not going to happen. But that was a
great
one.
We have sister school.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.